Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today we're talking about Charlie Kirk and about his favorite topic, free speech. We all saw the videos of people on the left grossly celebrating his murder because he said things they didn't like. But a lot of people are conflicted about comedian Jimmy Kimmel getting indefinitely suspended from his late-night gig because of what he said on air about the death of the influential GOP organizer. Should free speech protect Kimmel? Or do we have this all wrong? Let's kick the show off with Annie Fry at KFTK Radio in St. Louis.
And also, is it important to say right now that he hasn't been fired? He's indefinitely suspended. So, is he going to be back Monday? What's happening?
I don't think so. I don't think you say indefinitely suspended.
No, you'd say, if it was fired, you'd say fired.
Well, I think they probably have contracts. And they have to figure out, how do we get out of these contracts before we say he's fired?
The other thing here is that there were posts about Jimmy Kimmel being encouraged to, he was going to, that night, offer an apology, which didn't get the opportunity to air. Dude, you can, if you hold your phone up in front of your face and record an apology and upload it exactly anywhere on the internet, it will be the most viewed video today. So please don't say, well, I was going to apologize, but I can use that voice, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to be accusatory. I'm like thinking about what I'm saying here.
No, it's a communist voice and he's a communist.
Is he?
Yeah.
You know, the communists would probably limit free speech.
They do.
The YouTube poll for today is Jimmy Kimmel's indefinite suspension an attack on free speech. I think that this is not going to be red versus blue in this poll. I think that there are some people who may be on the right side of the aisle who feel like this is a bridge too far. We're going to speak with Hans von Spakovsky, and he's a lawyer. He was a Department of Justice lawyer, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. The question is, was Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely suspended and it's an infringement on his right to speak freely? ABC pulled him off the air. There was not a demand made on ABC. The FCC did not fire Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, he's actually not even fired at this point. So you can't say that the FCC put this on them. But the question you got to ask is Jimmy Kimmel free to speak and say what he wants and say what he believes? And you have to also remember at the same time that Jimmy Kimmel, who is an employee of ABC, yes, Disney, and I'm still available to be Disney's next DEI hire, a Christian, conservative, Midwestern, happily married, monogamous mother of four. Here's Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, who people are referring to as a radical.
Yeah, broadcasters are different than any other form of communication, including here. We're on cable right now. Fox News doesn't have an FCC license. CNN doesn't. But ABC, CBS, NBC, those broadcast stations do. And with that license comes a unique obligation to operate in the public interest. And over the years, the FCC walked away from enforcing that public interest obligation. I don't think we're better off as a country for it. But look, President Trump ran directly at these legacy broadcast outlets, and he exposed them to these market forces. And a lot of these affiliate groups said, to your point, we're tired of carrying this stuff. Late night shows, something's gone seriously awry there. They went from going for applause, from laugh lines, to applause lines. They went from being court jesters that would make fun of everybody in power to being court clerics and enforcing a very narrow political ideology. And Nexstar, as you noted, stood up and said, look, we have the license and we don't want to run this anymore. We don't think it serves the interests of our community. Sinclair did the same thing. So there's more work to go, but I'm very glad to see that America's broadcasters are standing up to serve the interests of their community. We don't just have this progressive foie gras coming out from New York and Hollywood.
So Brendan Carr there, the chairman of the FCC, making a distinction between an ABC, which is over-the-air, publicly owned airwaves, broadcast television, where if you're on Fox News and it's cable television, you pay to acquire whatever it is that they're serving up there, and you can unsubscribe, you can cancel, you can yourself the consumption of that, because cable news functions under a different set of rules than the publicly owned airwaves do, like the ones I'm speaking on right now. Guess what? The airwaves I'm speaking on, you own them. I own them, but I don't own them any more than you own them either, because I'm a citizen and a taxpayer. So we're at a pivotal point right now in our nation's history, from where we've been to where we are going right now. And Jimmy Kimmel, this instance, fits right into the lane of the fork in the road where we're going to have to choose one way or the other. And I believe that one direction absolutely leads to mutual destruction. We have to start peddling in the truth once again. Factual truth. That is that has to be the currency of news, of our communications. You cannot be living in a reality where Jimmy Kimmel can intentionally misinform his audience on Monday that it is obviously that the shooter of Charlie Kirk was a member of the MAGA gang. There is zero evidence that that is the case. There has been zero evidence that that is the case. We have known for quite some time that he was very much so radicalized on the left with whatever particular, you know, social issues that he was interested, that he despised Charlie Kirk. Jimmy Kimmel had to do no work to understand that his statement was a patent lie. He goes onto the broadcast airwaves and he lies to the American people. Is that a problem? We need to get back to the place where employers determine that their shows, the platforms, the time slots that they fill, if you're going to have people who are going to go in front of the camera and mockingly lie to the American people about somebody who was assassinated for what obviously appears to be, let's just say this, certainly not a right-wing activist. Certainly not. There was never a moment in time. Ryan, am I missing even the wink, the glimmer of time where there was a suggestion that maybe this was a right-winger?
So on the deep web, there were far-left people who were saying that this guy was somehow associated with, like, Nick Fuentes and the super far, like, crazy. I don't even know
so
if
that's where
right.
you had to go to that's get to this.
That's where you had to go to get this.
So is that where Jimmy Kimmel lives?
I think so. I kid you not. I think that that is where he got this. Because Jemele Hill and a lot of these other rando journalists that are without jobs now too, they had to retract their statements because of this stuff.
They have a vested interest in that thing that you have to go to some deep dark place that I have not seen in order to get somebody who says it so you could repeat it. They don't even have to prove anything to you. They just have to make the suggestion. And because it fits your worldview, the ends justify the means here. If the end result is besmirching of anybody who supports Donald Trump, in Jimmy Kimmel's mind, this still all comes back to Trump. You can differ in opinion on the person who's in charge without trying to lay blame to the entirety of the majority of American people who have elected this man to make the decisions that he's making right now. Let's get a lawyer on here. Hans von Spakovsky joins us once again, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC commissioner and DOJ lawyer.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I didn't realize President Trump was the CEO and president of ABC. Did something change? Did he resign as a presidency? Because Donald Trump didn't fire Jimmy Kimmel. The network did.
So are you saying ABC made a business decision here?
Yes. And, you know, let me tell you the biggest problem I keep seeing in this is that you have all these people who really don't understand the First Amendment. The First Amendment says the government cannot criminally prosecute you for speech that is highly offensive or critical of the government or is about politics. The government can't criminally prosecute you. The First Amendment does not say that you can't suffer the consequences of that. So while the government can't prosecute you for saying something bad or offensive, your employer can fire you if the employer doesn't like what you say or says, hey, this is going to hurt my business. My customers are going to get mad. You can lose your job in a school if the school says, look, this is not appropriate. The First Amendment doesn't protect you from the civil consequences of what you've done. It just says the government can't put you in jail for it.
Hmm. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky here. Here's a listener comment. I'm asking you, is it disingenuous to say that the government wasn't involved? The accusation here is that the FCC explicitly threatened and then Trump celebrated Jimmy Kimmel or ABC. Is there some actionable item in that comment about an attack on free speech?
I mean, yeah, the chair of the FCC said, oh, this was terrible. They'll look into it. But nothing else happened, you know, and if the FCC, for example, tried to terminate or cancel their licensing because of this, they would have ended up in a big lawsuit. And I actually think they would have won. Let me tell you the other thing I think people are failing to do. Look, it's one thing to fire somebody, for example, which I think is wrong, because they have a different opinion than you on an issue like guns, abortion, or something like that. That's not the issue here. The issue here is Jimmy Kimmel's mocking grief, telling lies, fabricating lies about one of the most horrible things we've seen in quite a long time, an assassination. And that's very different getting rid of him. And like I said, it's a network. If they think it's going to offend their customers, the people who view them, and the advertisers who pay for the show, they have every right to fire him. And yeah, he can keep saying what he said on his own time. He just doesn't have a First Amendment right to do it on a network program.
So the lawyer says Donald Trump didn't fire Jimmy Kimmel, but he did post on social media over and over that Kimmel had to go. And Trump's head of the FCC, Brendan Carr, has the ability to threaten the broadcast licenses of billion-dollar companies, including ABC, which pulled Kimmel. Carr's FCC also approves, or doesn't, mergers between media companies where billions of dollars are at stake. Carr argued on CNBC that networks with broadcast licenses, like ABC, NBC, and CBS, have a special obligation to serve the public interest, and Kimmel was suspended because he failed to do so. And you know who has a problem with what Carr said? WPHT's conservative host, Rich Zeoli. Here are Zeoli's thoughts.
Jimmy Kimmel lost his show, is suspended probably indefinitely, I would imagine. I don't see him coming back. So the word on the street is he's going to be on Stephen Colbert's show Monday night. Now, there's a couple layers to this. Obviously, the first layer is the fact that these late night shows, it's not making a ton of cash anymore. They pay these guys obscene amounts of money, and people just aren't watching them. So the shows cost the networks a lot of money. That's number one. We saw this with Colbert. Now, with Colbert, everybody assumed that it was cancel culture. The problem with that, though, is that the very same company that owns CBS is Paramount, and they paid $1.5 billion for South Park. Now, I don't know if you watch South Park. I used to, and then I stopped. I just don't have a lot of time. I have three kids, and I got a job, and you know, I don't have a ton of time. But I did watch this season South Park, mainly because I was excited about Charlie Kirk being featured on there. And so I tuned in. That show savages President Trump on a weekly basis. The most recent episode had him, because he's on the show, his lover is Satan. And he got Satan pregnant. And Fox News was all cheering this on and saying how wonderful it was that the president got Satan pregnant. Now, I bring that up because obviously if it was about cancel culture, then the administration would have used the pressure, because there's this whole merger going through, to say, not only do I want Colbert gone, but I want South Park gone too. Instead, Paramount paid the creators of South Park $1.5 billion with a B for that show. So it's not exactly cancel culture if, on the one hand, you're getting rid of a guy who costs the network $100 million a year, and you're spending $1.5 billion for a show that is way more anti-Trump than Stephen Colbert on his best day. Because for all the things about Stephen Colbert, He never insinuated that the president was having sexual relations with the devil and then having his love child. And that's not a defense of Stephen Colbert. That's just the fact. He just never insinuated those things. The reason why the Jimmy Kimmel thing is troubling is because Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, chose to go on TV and speak about this, and he should not have. He should not have done that. The problem is that years ago, we had an FCC chairman named Ajit Pai, who was an unabashed defender of freedom of speech. And he was under the Trump administration, by the way. He was the chairman of the FCC under President Trump. And he had a lot of shows back then that were anti-Trump. And he never once called for investigations. He never once tried to go out there and do anything. He wasn't a grandstander. This guy, Brendan Carr, I think he wants to run for Senate or something because he's putting himself into the story. You shouldn't be putting yourself into the story when you're the FCC chairman. It reflects badly on the president. And this whole thing now is going to wind up being used by Democrats in midterms to say that we have a censorship state in America. And the problem is that you have these mergers that are going on right now, and it looks very much like government coercion. Now, if you remember, under the Biden administration, we were all screaming and we sued the Biden administration because they were coercing social media companies to censor conservatives over their views on COVID-19, under the guise that we were spreading lies and misinformation. So they would go into Facebook and Twitter, and this was all exposed by Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger under the Twitter files, and they would say, you need to deplatform that person, you need to shut that person down. And if you don't, well, we'd hate to bring about net neutrality. And we talked about this. We said, if the government is coercing private companies to censor speech, that is against the First Amendment. The government can't do that. Now, the FCC has jurisdiction on over the airwaves. So they have jurisdiction over this radio station, for example. They have jurisdiction over the show, and they have jurisdiction over any of the old television networks that go over the air that had to get licenses from the government way back when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. The FCC has rules that you have to follow. For example, as you know, the seven dirty words, seven deadly words. You can't say, there are seven words that you can't say. Otherwise, you will get all kinds of FCC fines. There was a time when Howard Stern was funny before he became woke, and he would take on the FCC all the time. And he would get fined, and the stations would get fined, and he would fight them. And then eventually one day he said, enough is enough. I'm tired of fighting with the FCC. I'm going to satellite radio. Now, at the time, there was Sirius and there was XM. They had yet to merge. But the FCC has no jurisdiction over satellite radio. Just like the FCC has no jurisdiction over cable. It has no jurisdiction over podcasts, YouTube, streaming, whatever else. So, for example, Joe Rogan can say whatever he wants. He can use all seven deadly words as often as he wants during his show. The same with Tucker or Bill Maher's Club Random podcast or Bill Maher and his HBO show, Real Time. The FCC has no jurisdiction over those programs. They have no jurisdiction over those stations, networks. I mean, it's like the vocabulary is changing in a lot of ways now as the technology changes. But when Howard Stern did this, there was really no other options. I mean, there was cable, but he had a cable TV show at one point. It didn't do particularly well. He wanted to do a radio show. They were not putting radio shows on cable television back then. Satellite radio came along and said, we'll offer you hundreds of millions of dollars if you come and you, and then they built an entire network around him. That's the reason why satellite radio got its start, really, because of Howard Stern. And then, of course, he went woke and he went crazy and he started hiding in his house during COVID and he never came out. And then he completely changed or just showed his true colors as the guy he always really was. Just a guy who cared much more about people liking him at the Hamptons when they sip their Chablis than the working class people that actually used to listen to his radio show when it was on terrestrial radio. So the FCC's jurisdiction is limited in terms of its scope. It has the over-the-air waves television and radio, of which people are not consuming that in the same way they used to anymore. Let's be honest, there's probably a good chance that you probably haven't watched a show on ABC, CBS, or NBC in quite some time. I mean, I haven't.
Ryan Recker filled in for Mark Cox on his KFTK show this week and wondered if it was the FCC's place or ABC's to tackle Kimmel's disrespect for Charlie Kirk.
You look at the conduct that has taken place by Jimmy Kimmel, it appears to be some of the sickest conduct possible.
And that was the FCC chair Carr discussing perhaps maybe the line has been crossed. And I think they're taking the Charlie Kirk assassination very seriously. I know people have their opinions and they're allowed to express these opinions. But he's looking at it and he's taking it saying, OK, some people take it a step further. And Jimmy Kimmel became right into the middle of that conversation. And now Jimmy Kimmel's show is on indefinite leave on ABC.
And I don't know if it's as much an FCC violation. I mean, I think you are entitled to express your opinion. But I think the fallout here is the complete distaste that he used and of a known lie. He had to have known by the time that show aired that this guy was not a right-wing MAGA person, and yet he went ahead and spewed that lie, because this was well after the email string that revealed his motives and his anger towards his LGBTQ and his gay lover and all of that. I say gay. Is it still gay if you're dating a trans guy? I don't know.
I don't know what
the actual term should be. Or pronouns, yeah. Any of that stuff. The point being is that I think he just had horrible distaste, and you don't make an assassination part of your comedy routine. It's not funny, right? And I think that's why ABC took the action. I don't think the FCC needs to do anything. Let ABC monitor their own people on what's tasteful and what's not.
You've seen this across the board. You saw this with Jimmy Kimmel. You've seen this with a number of prominent media figures engaging in this narrative that this is somehow a Romeo and Juliet style story rather than a situation of factual nature.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet was Katie Pavlik on Fox discussing how the mainstream media is really becoming more and more deprived. And I think there is something to that, and something you said, Dan, I think we're going to have to discuss a little bit. Can I mention one thing real quick? But going back into the FCC, and it's not really the FCC's place when it comes to perhaps free speech on the public. Let me say this. So in general, when we talk about free speech, the big example they use is you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. So this is the argument I think the FCC may be trying to make, and I think this is a valid argument. So let's say you yell fire outside of a movie theater over and over and over and over again, and someone goes in and burns the theater down and kills everyone inside. So now they're saying, okay, because we had an event where people died in what you incited caused this person to go light the theater on fire, then maybe we're going to look at the people that are inciting to light the theater on fire. So you might not be yelling fire inside of a movie theater, but you're encouraging someone to go light the fire inside of a movie theater. That's incitement. And I think that's what they're trying to figure out in a Charlie Kirk post assassination world, is if that type of language is inciting what we're seeing today that has been enacted in real life.
Yeah, it's a fine line, isn't it, between First Amendment rights and the ability of people to express themselves without inciting or causing chaos within the communities. And I just don't know if certainly not what Kimmel said, I don't think is inflammatory. I think it was just in horrible taste. It was in and it was a factual lie. He knew that that was not the case, that the gunman was a MAGA supporter. So I think it's more ABC's role to say, hey, we're not going to have that disrespect for a man, a father and a husband who was gunned down in cold blood in front of thousands of people. We don't find that to be jokeable. We don't believe that should be in a monologue. That's where I think we're at as a society. And I think that's good. I think accountability to what you say, but we got to be careful not to thwart people's ability to express themselves.
Tara Servatius of WORD Radio starts her segment on Jimmy Kimmel discussing one of the phrases scrawled on a bullet casing belonging to assassin Tyler Robinson. The New York Post says a lefty Italian anti-fascist phrase associated with World War II, Bella Ciao, was on a bullet at the scene. The slogan is the title of an anti-fascist song popularized after World War II by left-wing Italian partisans. Singing the song is a hallmark of Liberation Day in Italy. Here's Tara talking about censorship, hypocrisy, and more.
A really incredible, almost prophetic segment from Charlie Kirk's show, Lee, as people like Caitlin Collins in the left try to pretend there's no way we can know how any of this happened. We are so confused. Must have been just a very mentally unwell young man. Charlie Kirk weighing in personally, as best he can, from beyond the grave almost here. This is a segment of his show in the last 6 months.
My fear, Senator, and I hope I'm wrong, and let's say stay in prayer that I'm wrong, that someone is going to get shot the same way that Steve Scalise got shot, and God forbid, killed. The left is creating a pressure cooker with so many of their rank and file paramilitary troops that very well might result in one of us getting shot or killed. God forbid that happens. We're getting death threats every single day here on the Charlie Kirk Show.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if he could have said it this week. I mean, that is, you know, just, and he's talking about the leftist paramilitary groups. There's, when he's literally ends up being killed by a guy using an Antifa slogan, a reference to Bella Ciao, which has gotten less attention. Yeah. But the leader of Antifa in L.A. has a production company called Bella Ciao, and it is a very common hashtag used on Antifa tweets, Antifa websites. And it is a socialist, guerrilla warfare, basically uprising kind of slogan.
Also, I'm learning, listening into, looking into this and hearing from various other sources.
Meanwhile, on this whole very fake censorship scandal, the left screaming bloody murder that they are being censored. And of course, now they're telling us they're living through a dictatorial regime and stuff. You know what's crazy about this? Every single time they talk about this, no matter who, what talking head they throw up on liberal television, cable television, they never mention that less than 3 years ago, their networks were openly advocating for censorship of the right.
Right.
Openly advocating. I've got clip after clip after clip after clip. If I'm in the mood, I'll play them. I don't know. I've got them loaded. I don't like listening to their voices, but this was so mainstream. I mean, Hillary Clinton was giving interviews all over the place. Time to censor. It's time to go ahead and put people in prison on the right who say untrue things that Russia would like. And she means, let me translate, true things about Democrats. This was where they were. I mean, do you know what happened this week, by the way? This is incredible, the rewriting of the history. Remember the censorship committee that was supposed to be led by Nina Jankowicz?
Oh, yeah.
Chief censor?
Yeah.
And remember, Fox News went nuts over this, to their credit, and really covered this and really exposed her to the point where they had to let her go, right? Well, you know, she sued Fox News for libel and defamation, saying, no, I wasn't going to be the chief censor. I wasn't going to censor right-wingers. How'd that suit end? Well, it ended this week with a victory by Fox. Mm-hmm. You know how you win a libel and defamation suit? You prove you were right.
Yeah.
Gets dismissed.
Yes.
Gets thrown out. Judge threw it out. Why? Fox proved it was fact. So literally this week, as we have a judge ruling against Nina Jankowicz and the disinformation censorship complex, in other words, acknowledging the left did do this. She was going to be the chief censor of us. And the libel suit for millions of dollars against Fox dismissed. The Democrats are screaming bloody murder that they are in danger of being victims of censorship because a private company got rid of a guy who, Lee, I'm looking at these ratings right now. Okay, I live in this world. You live in this. We all live in this world, okay? Yeah. If this happened to me, ratings-wise, we would be in very, very serious conversations. Yeah. And I probably wouldn't be sitting here this morning. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel was hemorrhaging viewers. Nielsen data showed sharp summer declines and a year-long slide that leaves him trailing late-night rivals like Fox News' Greg Gutfeld and CBS, you know, programming late at night. Yeah. According to monthly Nielsen figures, Jimmy Kimmel Live dropped to just 1.1 million total viewers in August. That's down 43% from January's 1.95 million. He goes from almost 2 million in January to 1.1 million viewers in August. 45% slide.
Yeah.
You know how it works here. You know how radio is. If I had a slide like that, if any of us on this show or on the station had a slide like that, we'd be in meetings all the time with the management and maybe not even on the air anymore.
Right. Because you're not able to get ad rates, which, you know, get you profitable. Listen, there was discussions for quite some time about all these late night programs that have gotten all political, not because they're getting political, but it's because people are not watching. Viewership habits are changing. The whole media landscape has changed. And the late night television, these, you know, talk show hosts on network television, they're not attracting audiences anymore.
No.
The audiences are leaving. They're not there. So there has been talk for quite some time about the longevity of things like Colbert before he was let go over the fact that he just wasn't producing the results. And then this with him, I honestly think this is something that was in the works to begin with, because how often do you see someone in the network like that? What he said was bad. It was hurtful. It was harmful. But that's not anything worse than a lot of things that have been said by a lot of other hosts that have still got jobs.
No, it's not.
And I, like I said, I think this was something that was already in the works, and they're like, okay, we're done.
And here's the problem, okay? Just a major problem that Jimmy Kimmel has. If you go online, my family, we love, one of the things we love is to sit and watch a really good comedian. We've been doing that a lot lately. And if you look at the size of the audience, we love Gabriel Iglesias. He's Mexican, he's clean, which is why we can watch him as a family, and he is hilarious. Okay, Jimmy Kimmel, 1.1 million viewers in a month. How many subs, how many subscribers does Gabriel Iglesias have on Twitter? 8 million. What does one video by him do? Yeah, bad one. A Country Full of Daves, that's hilarious, by the way. 8 million views. 8 million views? 8 million views. How about this one? This is one of his funniest. Oh my gosh, if you haven't seen this. Fluffy goes to India. Oh my gosh, I had tears running down my face. How many views he get? 69 million. Well, why was Jimmy Kimmel even on the TV? Put Gabriel Iglesias on. He's kicking your butt on YouTube. See the problem there? I mean, this doesn't even make sense. I mean, the views here are, I mean, it's you can't continue with an audience where you lose 45% of your audience in less than a year. And people on YouTube are kicking your rear end and think you're going to have a career. I mean, you're just not. Meanwhile, we're going to get into this coming up. Chuck Schumer, who called for the censorship of the right on CNN, because, you know, as we know, we're domestic terrorists, right?
That's what Chuck says.
Right. Was on CNN screaming about the brutality of the censorship of Jimmy Kimmel, who can't get but a seventh of what Gabriel Iglesias does a month on YouTube, but somehow thinks he has the right to make tens of millions of dollars a year. Lee, this is just basic market economics right here. And when you, in addition to losing 45% of your audience, if you're constantly poking the management in the eye, like by mocking a guy in an entire side of a country who has just been assassinated, like, you maybe get to do that if you're getting the numbers that comedians, Nate Bargatze is another one, are getting online, then maybe you can survive it. But you can't lose 45% of your audience and think you can get away with that. That's just basic capitalism.
Well, and the charges of censorship, just, it's not really true censorship, because what you had happening was that you had two of the major consumers of the product by ABC, the network affiliates, who were their customers, said, we don't like this and we don't want it anymore. Now, censorship would be the management of ABC telling Charlie Kimmel what he can say, but they didn't. And quite honestly, you had two of the largest consumers of their product, the ABC affiliates, the groups owned by Nexstar and Sinclair, said, "We don't want this, and we're not going to air it." So it's the marketplace speaking. If the viewers of Nexstar and Sinclair were demanding that Kimmel still be on, probably still be on. But
they're
that's not the case.
It's just not.
Yeah. So this is the marketplace.
Yeah, it's a marketplace.
You know.
But we're going to go back down memory lane here. And again, for the Democrats not to acknowledge as they're screaming about how they are the victims of the so-called dictatorship. So for them not to notice that they, the leadership, was literally on these same stations advocating for the censorship of us by the government less than 3 years ago. Yeah. And to pretend that never happened. There's so much pretend here.
Yeah.
Like I told my daughter, all this pretend keeps me employed, so I guess it's good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.